There's a gay spirit singing in our hearts, leading us through these troubled times. The gay spirit moving round this land, calling us to a time of open love.
Welcome to Lesbian and Gay Voices on KPFT. And this segment is called Queer Music Heritage. I'm J.D. Doyle, and I'm here on the fourth Monday of each month to bring you an hour devoted to our culture's music. I plan to cover a lot of territory in terms of years and types of music. Mostly, I just don't think gay and lesbian music of the past should be forgotten. And I try to give a little information about the music and artists as I go. I also slip in songs from the present as well. I introduce this segment with the song Gay Spirit by Charlie Murphy, from the 1979 album Walls to Roses. It's one of my favorite gay anthems, and here's just a little more of it.
The gay spirit singing in our hearts, leading us through these troubled times. The gay spirit moving round this land, calling us to a time of open love.
I'd like to start off by saying that since there will be so many obscurities heard on this show, I thought those of you on the internet would like to be able to see photos of the artists and recordings and view the playlist. So I've set up a special webpage just for this show. It's at http://hometown.aol.com/QMHeritage. And I'll repeat this address later in the show. There are a lot of different ways I could introduce my first artist. He's only 26 years old and already has had quite a varied career. He got involved in show business at the age of 5, and here's a short clip of him singing on a children's record the song, I Love My Potbelly Bear. Well, I can think of adult gay singers who might be singing to their bears, but that was from 1979. And a few years later, at age 10, he and a little girl named Jen Chapin, who was a daughter of Harry Chapin, sang Get Back Home on a Cabbage Patch Kids album. It went like this. Here is an interview clip of the artist describing his music career as a child.
I used to sing constantly when I was like 3, 4, 5 years old, and I was discovered at my brother's bar mitzvah when I was 5 and put into this song competition with my other brother's Jewish song festival, and we won first prize, and the engineer there was doing a record called Potbelly Bear Songs and Stories, and I auditioned for it and I got the part, and after that I just started doing a lot of jingle work, and I did like over 400 jingles for television and did different characters' voices, like a character on Gem and the Holograms and Cabbage Patch Kids, and I sang backups for Diana Ross and Jell-O Pudding Pops with Bill Cosby and stuff like that. Crazy stuff like that. But it was really good training for me.
Okay, it's a big jump to where he is today. His name is Ari Gold, and he's an up-and-coming singer-songwriter from New York City. I'll let him describe his music.
Hi, my name is Ari Gold, and my CD is a self-titled CD called Ari Gold. And it's basically 10 love songs, and the style, I would say, is R&B, soul, a little dance house, and pop. You know, influenced by Sade and Madonna and Mary J. Blige and Chaka Khan, Stevie Wonder.
and his debut album is excellent. It is indeed smooth R&B, with all the influences he mentioned, with a touch of boy band thrown in. And to top it off, HX Magazine from New York has named him one of the 10 hottest gay men in Manhattan. You can judge that for yourself at his website, www.arigold.com. That's A-R-I-G-O-L-D. And his site is packed full of information, photos, and sound clips. I asked Ari to tell me about the first track on the CD, which is called Should I Get Over You?
Well, I know the first track, Should I Get Over You, is actually happened to happen on Gay Pride. I met this boy, and very scandalously, we were outside, and we kind of did a little something-something outside in a little corner. No one could see, but it was very scandalous. So that was there's a line in the song that says, then we went outside, found a place where we could hide. So that's true.
Don't stray. At home, have someone. Just looking for some fun.
Something that
already begun.
I'd say
monogamy.
Something
that's right for me. So why should I close the door to something new?
Yeah.
Gold is not afraid to use male-to-male pronouns in his songs. This is my favorite track from the album, Write Me a Love Song.
My lover never asked much to love him simple at your eyes. One morning he turned around and looked into my eyes. Just one simple request was all he's asking me for. I told him anything for you, darling, I could give more. He whispered his desire, in his eyes there burned a fire. So I said that I am ready. You're gonna sing to me. Write me a love song, baby. Write me a love song, baby. One that sings me to my dreams. Write me a love song, baby. My lover never insists. He tells me I shouldn't change. Loving me as I am, however crazy or strange. He knows what I can give, and he knows what I cannot. But this one thing that he asks from me is the one thing I've got. You whisper your desire, and in your eyes I can see the fire. So I'm telling you I'm ready, yeah, yeah. Write me a love song, baby. One that you're gonna sing tonight. Write me a love song, baby. Yeah. He told me, write me a love song, baby. One that sings me to my dreams. Write me a love song, baby. Yeah. I've been waiting my whole life for somebody to realize. Did you know that I wanted you, baby? Did you read my mind? Cause you do it all the time. And I'm just gonna write it tonight. I'm gonna write it, gonna write it now.
Gonna give it to you, yeah.
I'm gonna give it.
You're the one who's giving me my baby.
Again, that was Ari Gold from his self-titled CD. I met him a couple years ago and got to hear a demo tape of his songs, and that last one, Write Me a Love Song, really made an impression on me. I'm glad the CD is finally out so we all can enjoy it. Oh, and I asked Ari to record a promo for my show, and I'm pleased that he put a little bit of his personality in it.
Hello, this is Ari Gold. Hey, this is Ari Gold. I don't say hello, I say hey. Hey, this is Ari Gold, and you're listening to Queer Music Heritage, a part of Lesbian and Gay Voices on KPFT in Houston.
Also, be sure to listen to KPFT every Saturday night at midnight for After Hours with Jimmy Carper. It's queer radio with attitude. My spotlight artist for tonight is singer-songwriter Tom Wilson Weinberg. This artist is special to me. When I first came out, I was living in Norfolk, Virginia, and was active in the local gay and lesbian group. This was the group that produced the gay newspaper, ran the gay switchboard, had the social functions, and essentially did it all. In September of 1979, we held a conference, and for entertainment, brought down from Philadelphia Tom Wilson, as he was known then. He and his lover John were even my house guests for that weekend. His first album had just been released that year, and he was to perform various numbers from it. I had really not been out very long, and this was my first exposure to music with openly gay lyrics. So considering the size of my queer collection these days, I've got to thank Tom for opening my eyes to how music could speak to our community. Tom's style might be described as pop cabaret meets off-Broadway, and you'll see why as we go. Tom's first album was called Gay Name Game, and it was one of the earliest albums by an openly gay male. Beside the title song, which recalled many of the famous gay and lesbians of the past, other songs dealt with relationships, religion, and even Anita Bryant. I contacted Tom recently, and he graciously agreed to record answers to many questions about his career. I asked him to describe how the album Gay Name Game came about.
In the late 70s, I was performing songs that I had written locally in Philadelphia, where I was living at the time. There was a gay coffee house, and I played there regularly, and I also played at a couple of other coffee houses, one in New York and one in Baltimore. And at a certain point, I had a collection of original songs that seemed broad enough and interesting enough to put on a record. I didn't really have any particular support or backing for it. I just had the energy and the willingness to do it.
The most famous song by Tom came from this album, so I wasn't surprised at the answer when I asked him what song from the album had the most special meaning for him and which was his favorite.
Well, if I answered that question right after the album came out in 1979, I would probably have said all of them. Even listening to it now, which I did recently to prepare for this conversation, like it. I like the album. I like the songs. I like the humor. Now I would have to say that the song that is most special to me is Lesbian Seagull. At the time that I wrote it, it was kind of a novelty and a rather bizarre idea. It was based on a government study that I read about in the New York Times. The federal government funded a study of seagull behavior off the coast of California, and they determined that female couples bonded, built nests together, migrated, came back to the nests, hatched eggs. I think there must have been the involvement of a male seagull somewhere along the line, but these were female couples who hatched the eggs and nurtured the young and stayed together as pairs because they banded them and identified them. They stayed together as pairs over many years, and I thought that was extremely romantic. So I wrote this ballad, and many years later, 1997, the song ended up in a film, Beavis and Butthead Do America. And it was just a fluke, but it had been played on David Letterman's show, and this guy Mike Judge, who is the creator of Beavis and Butthead, heard it and decided he wanted to use it in this film that he was developing. And it was a great little boost for me because I earned some money, which one does not do very often in this field. And the song went on to the CD soundtrack, Geffen Records, went platinum, ended up in a couple of Warner Chappell books, anthologies. So I can't help but name that the most meaningful song.
Here is Tom singing Lesbian Seagull.
She flies so gracefully over rocks, trees, and sand, soaring over cliffs and gently floating down to land. She proudly lifts her voice to sound the mating call, and soon her mate responds by singing, caw, caw, caw. Come with me, lesbian seagull. Settle down and rest with me. Fly with me, lesbian seagull, to my little nest by the sea. With me, that's where you belong. With me, I know I can be strong as long as you're with me. She skims the water at their mealtime to seek a fish, and she emerges with one squirming in her beak. She plays among the waves and hides between the swells. She walks the beach at twilight searching for some shells. Come with me, lesbian seagull. Settle down and rest with me. Fly with me, lesbian seagull, to my little nest by the sea. With me, that's where you belong. With me, I know I can be strong as long as you're with me. And in the evening, as they watch the setting sun, she looks at her as if to say, the day is done. It's time to find their shelter hidden in the dunes, and fall asleep amidst the music of the loons. Come with me, lesbian seagull. Settle down and rest with me. Fly with me, lesbian seagull, to my little nest by the sea. With me, that's where you belong. With me, I know I can be strong as long as you're with me. You and me, lesbian seagull, we'll just watch the world go by. Just you and me, lesbian seagull, side by side we'll be till we die. You and I, we can make it if we try. Our love will keep us flying high until we die.
Tom didn't mention that in the movie, the song was sung by Engelbert Humperdinck. In 1982, Tom released a second solo album, this one entitled All American Boy. It was more of a homemade effort and contained more songs about gay relationships and one song, Take Good Care of Yourself, that was kind of a precursor about the coming AIDS epidemic. Tom's work really started attracting attention in the mid-80s when he put together a musical review called, appropriately, The 10% Review. It included new songs and many of his older material, performed by a cast of two men and two women. It was an immediate success, opening in Boston and then moving to Provincetown for a 10-week summer run, where it attracted even more notice. According to Tom, it's had over 50 productions in various cities, including one in Houston. Some of the gay and lesbian artists who have performed in the production over the years have included Paul Phillips of Romanowski and Phillips, Elliot Pilshaw and John Arterton, both early members of the Flirtations, and Lisa Koch. And also Leah Delaria has served as its director. I asked Tom if he had any special memories of a particular 10% Review performance.
Yes, what a great question. There is a particular 10% Review performance that I'll never forget. Most of the material was funny, and of course that's what we were going for, to give people a good time and to have fun and to make political points in a humorous way. In the summer of 86, we were performing in Provincetown, and on a particular day, the news came down that the Supreme Court had made their decision in Hardwick versus Bowers, the notorious Georgia case, where the Supreme Court essentially said that same-gender partners do not have a right to privacy of sexual conduct, even in their own homes. We were devastated by the news, and that night when we did our performance, we stopped the show at a particular point, and one of our cast members, Jennifer Firestone, told the audience about the decision. And then we went right back into the show and continued with it with one of our more serious songs that felt relevant to that moment. And people were crying. We were crying. And I'll just never forget it. It just gave the show a certain immediacy that was exciting and very vital. And then over the next few days, I wrote a song about the whole business, which is called And the Supremes, a spoof on the Supreme Court and on that dreadful anti-sex decision. And we put it in the show a few weeks later, and it remained in the show and continues to be performed whenever the show is performed.
Breaking laws that we have always broken, especially in private, at home. What kind of dreams would the Supremes dream if only they could dream? A person's home ain't no castle anymore. They wipe that out 5-4. Mr. Chief Justice, you really should trust us.
What?
Sodomy would change your feelings. We've only got 9 judges and 5 don't like to scream.
That was Jennifer Firestone from the cast singing lead on And the Supremes from 10% Review. By 1992, Tom Wilson Weinberg had written enough material for a second review and called this one Get Used to It. While it didn't reach the audience of the first review, in many ways it was a better production, and its material was more mature. It contained one of my favorites of Tom's songs, which was also on his first solo album. It's called My Leviticus. I asked Tom to tell us about it.
Religion has always been kind of a touchy subject for me. And I continue to be pretty suspicious of organized religion. And I've dealt with it quite a bit in my work. This was the first song in which I commented on religion, and in particular the rather harsh rules in Leviticus. Harsh is an understatement. I took, and when we later used this song in 10% Review, we read that portion of the Bible. I wanted to put it on the LP, but I was talked out of it by the producers. I wanted to have that Bible portion read because the song is a direct response to the Bible quote. I just turn everything around from anti-gay to pro-gay.
Here is a little of My Leviticus, as sung by cast member Brad Whitaker.
Man shall lie with man if they want to. Woman shall lie with woman if they want to. And at the very least, beast shall lie with beast if they want to. That's my Leviticus. Women shall take the lead if they want to. Men may spill their seed if they want to. And those who wish to rate don't need to procreate if they don't want to. That's my Leviticus.
I asked Tom what song from the show, Get Used to It, was most special to him.
The material in Get Used to It is very political and a little more serious than 10% Review. And yet one of the lighter numbers, called Breaking the Penal Code with You, is my personal favorite from the show. It takes us on a little tour of states that remain on the anti-sodomy list, and a couple decides that they're going to go to each state that has laws against queer sex and do it.
Welcome to Over the Rainbow Travel, gentlemen. If birds fly there, so can you. How may I help you?
My sweetie and I are planning a vacation.
We want to see this nation of ours.
You'll need a few facts. You'll need an education on the rules of the road, the way to behave
in the land of the free and the home of the brave.
First you'll see Virginia, 'cause Virginia is for lovers. But someone's keeping track of Virginians under the covers. Intercourse for breeding is all that they permit. But while you're in Virginia, you'll find crimes to commit.
I'll be breaking the penal code with you, doing the things we want to do. If courts and legislatures break rules of Mother Nature's, I'll break the penal code with you.
This brings us up to 1994. Please listen to a little of this song.
There was a time before liberation when all the witches were mad and moonstruck, when shrinking and shocking and mocking were rife, we still found each other, the ones in
That song was called Before Stonewall and came from a various artists CD titled Don't Mess with Mary. I asked Tom to tell us a little about that project.
Well, I was thinking a lot about Stonewall 25. The 25th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprising was in 1994. And I had written a couple of songs that I wanted to try to arrange in a new way. So I went to the people who were organizing the official Stonewall festivities in New York, and I told them about my ideas, and they encouraged me to go ahead and present them with some tapes. So I arranged a couple of songs. One was a number from 10% Review called Safe Sex Slut, and one was from, I guess it's also a 10% Review number, yes, Before Stonewall. And I wrote a title song, Don't Mess with Mary. And I wrote another song called Bricks and Bottles, which is about the Stonewall riots. And I invited a variety of performers to present this material. And my friend and colleague Wayne Barker once again arranged and produced the material. And we had terrific singer Jan Tilley. She sang Bricks and Bottles. We had the New York City Gay Men's Chorus Chamber Choir sing Before Stonewall. And we had a drag diva by the name of Tina Bonet sing the title tune, Don't Mess with Mary.
I'll also like to share just a little of Jan Tilley singing Bricks and Bottles from that CD. Again, that was from the CD, Don't Mess with Mary, issued to commemorate the 25th anniversary of Stonewall. To bring us up to date, I asked Tom to describe his latest work.
My current project is a musical called Hick Replies. I've been working on it for a few years, and we've had a couple of workshop productions and some readings in New York. And it's a four-character musical, and it's the first time that I've tried to tell a story as opposed to a musical review. This is a book musical. And there are four characters: Eleanor Roosevelt, Lorena Hickok, her intimate and dear friend of 30 years, FDR, and J. Edgar Hoover. And in the piece, I'm really focusing on the relationship between the two women. But Franklin and Edgar Hoover play an important part in the piece. And I'm not trying to be historically accurate down to every detail, but I am wanting to be respectful to the characters and to the situation. We are going to have another reading of the work. I have a working with a terrific director in New York, and we're going to stage a reading in June and hope to find some support. A producer, some investors, a theater, an angel, a magician, somebody to help us move this piece forward so that we can get it onto the stage.
I want to thank Tom Wilson Weinberg for the interview and for his contribution to gay music, and I couldn't resist asking him to do a promo for this show.
This is Tom Wilson Weinberg, and you're listening to J.D. Doyle's Queer Music Heritage, a part of Lesbian and Gay Voices on KPFT in Houston.
You can see photos of Tom and the other artists on tonight's show and also links to their websites on my website. My last artist for tonight's show is Dave Hall. I think he's one of the brightest stars in the gay music field today. He's certainly one of the most prolific. He's released three CDs since 1997, and I think they're all very good. I'm fortunate to have been able to get Dave to record some comments for the show. So I'll start off by letting him describe his music for you.
My musical style, gosh, people have called it different things. My first record they called folk rock. My second record they called folk pop. I'm not sure what people are calling this one. It's pretty folky, but there's classical in it too. I've done a couple of Bach interpretations. I think whatever I do stylistically, I shift around a lot, does have definitely an American Anglo-Celtic folk sort of influence on it.
Dave's first album for 1997 was called Playin' the Man. In his writing, Dave often uses the premise of being in an imaginary conversation with someone, and he refers to this technique when telling about the song His Name is Joe.
His Name is Joe, I guess you would call my coming out song. That was another imagined conversation, this time with someone I might run into on the street after having not seen them for many years, and having them ask the inevitable question, oh, are you married? Are you seeing anyone? And, you know, the answer is yes, and his name is Joe.
Walking home from school, carrying somebody else's books. I still remember the golden rule, and I remember the dirty look. Holding hands on the playground line, sending paper hearts, will you be mine? I skipped to my loot till my feet were blue. Now since you've asked, I do. His name is Joe. I've been to the dance, two bottles up, take no chance. First dates, first prom, first goodnight kiss, first chance. I have to tell you this, yes I do. His name is Joe. His name is Joe.
His name is Joe.
Got a little spot on the top of his head, and he got a bigger spot in my big brass bed. Once in a while, with a clear view of you, just a walking down the aisle. I squeeze a lot of tears behind one smile. Now I put on my shoes and I walk my mile, and I do. I traded in the garden and the picket fence for a suite so long to all pretense. I got a cabin in the country with a view of the sky, and I won't disguise this guy. His name is Joe. His
Dave Hall's second album was called Places, and he got two nominations for it at the Glammas, the Gay and Lesbian American Music Awards. It was released in 1999, and I asked Dave to tell us about Biff and Tony's Wedding, my favorite track from that album.
Biff and Tony's Wedding is from my second CD, Places. That's based on an actual wedding that my partner and I, Joe, attended. My partner Joe and I attended. It was the first gay wedding I'd been to, and I was really struck by what a beautiful ceremony it was, what a great party it was. And for a long time, I felt like I wanted to write about it, and I wasn't sure exactly how. And then what I did was pretty much just write exactly what happened. The fun stuff, the nerves, you know, the slight, subtle conflicts between family members. And what I think people find interesting about the song, and it got a lot of radio play around the country, meaning that, you know, heterosexual people seem to have gotten into it as much as gay and lesbian people. It was just like any other wedding. It was just with all this sort of craziness and the tension and the joy. So I'm kind of glad that people got into it and people played it on the radio. I thought it was a way for, straight people to, you know, get a glimpse into, gay and lesbian life in kind of a fun way.
Bought a present, we circled our date. Now we pack the car, we're heading upstate. We're in a hurry, don't wanna be late. We're going to a wedding. The weatherman says it's gonna be warm. There's no threat of a thunderstorm. The guests and the honeybees all gonna swarm. We're going to a wedding, Biff and Tony's wedding. The sun is shining, Biff is sweating. Tony's thinking about all the gifts they'll be getting. Biff and Tony's wedding. Biff's mom has the whole thing catered, bartended and handsomely waited. Biff's brother hired a wedding band. Everything's going the way that they planned. Biff's dad helped pick out the rings. He's thinking who can tell what any life brings. He's blinking a tear from his twinkling eye. Biff says, come on, Dad, you're gonna make me cry. Biff and Tony's wedding. Tony's glowing, Biff's still sweating, which is the only thing upsetting about Biff and Tony's wedding. The minister blesses and speaks of God, which nobody there finds the least bit odd. He tells me if he is gonna lead his flock, he can't be trying to turn back the clock. The little ones went to the beach for the day. Mother thought it prudent to keep them away. Tony's folks didn't show, cause what they think the Bible say. Guess they're gonna just stay. They're missing all the food, they're missing all the fun. They're missing Biff and Tony, loving everyone. They're missing all the tears, they're missing all the brew. They're missing all the music and the dancing too. At Biff and Tony's wedding, no one is sad and no one is fretting. Except Biff and his tux, he's still sweating. Biff and Tony's wedding. Biff and Tony. Biff and Tony.
Dave rarely does any material that he did not write, but also on the album Places, he sings a fantastic version of the old folk song, Shenandoah, It's just gorgeous. And Dave has a new album out. It's called True, and it's perhaps a little mellower, a little more acoustic than his first two. I think it's excellent. And once again, he doesn't shy away from openly gay subject matter. And on this album, he has a song that deals with gays and religion. It's called God is Wide.
God is Wide. Now, it seems to me that whenever there's any discussion, public discussion of, you know, any issue of any importance to anyone, it seems somehow we've got to bring God into it, which I think is a tricky business because I think it's really hard to know what God wants. And of course, we all have such different ideas of who God is or what God is like. So what I tried to do in God is Wide is juxtapose a very sort of dominant and oft heard from point of view about who God is and what God thinks, juxtapose that with a few other ideas of different types of ways of looking at God, and tried to do it in kind of a fun way and in a way that, in a sort of a conversational form that maybe a lot of folks would recognize. And the song seems to be going over pretty well. People seem to like it.
We'll get to the song in just a moment. I want to thank you all for tuning into the show, and I especially want to thank Ari Gold, Tom Wilson Weinberg, and Dave Hall for the interviews. If you have questions or comments about any of the music I featured, including maybe where to track them down, I'd be glad to try and help. So please email me at qmheritage@aol.com. This is J.D. Doyle for Lesbian and Gay Voices on KPFT in Houston, and I'll be back on the fourth Monday of next month with another installment of Queer Music Heritage. As promised, from his album called True, here is Dave Hall singing God is Wide.
So my brother says God is a flat-butted, crew-cutted linebacker, a macho babe hijacker, panting at the line of scrimmage. He makes God in his own image, and I don't begrudge him that. But his is a God who hates all fads, Jews, Hindus, and kids in rags. The Bible can thump like a big bass drum till every single sacred cow comes home. I know where that's at. God is wide. God is wide. God is wide. You can't get around to the other side. You cannot run in the night. Shock can't hide. So my brother says, say what you will, and I don't really care what you do. It's your life and it's up to you. But then he blinks his eye, which is true sky blue. Puts his arm around his daughter, turns to view the two. Jumps and cheers when his team rocks. Then there's the God who with open arms is the God that the family finds. Inhabits the fields and the flowers and the barns. Smiles when the missus darns her husband's socks. God is wide. God is wide. God is wide. Can't get around to the other side. You cannot run in the shock can't hide. So my brother says, you know that I don't like to fight, but I think I know what's wrong for what's right. Whatever some people may do or say, you can't tell me it's okay. It ain't no way to be. And there's the God who lives in every tree. She the one who created me. Easter waking up the spring. I'm not sure to whom I should sing or from whom I should flee. God is wide. God is wide. God is wide. You can't get around to the other side. You can't outrun him and you sure can't hide. So my brother, he jumps into the shiny car, though he never seems to drive too far. To the PTA, to the boating pool, to get a film for his sweet tooth, he drives to the mall. Well, there's a God of neon, a God of light, a God who brightens frightening night, a God who's gonna make all things right. Awesome power might this be the true God after all? God is wise. God is wise. God is wise. You can't get around to the other side. You can't overrun them and you sure can hide. God is wise. God is wise. God is wise. Side. You can't outrun them and you sure can't hide. So my brother said.